an AppleViz original.
Well, Apple celebrated the Apple.
Jesus.
Are you reading your notes again, Tom? Oh,
we were doing so good.
I can't remember what we were celebrating here. Okay.
Global awareness.
Global awareness. There it is. Something. Global awareness. That's the word I was looking
global,
for.
There is
global. Something. Global. Well, that's true. Okay. Well, I wasn't talking to you, Randy.
Oh, I'm not talking to you either.
Mm-hmm. Mike, have you heard about it?
Maybe he was bored with the LiDAR.
Maybe. I think he fell asleep. Oh.
Listen. Anyway, I happen to.
You know, that gives us our listeners an idea what we go through when it comes to editing and what kind of plugins. So we use these special effects plugins that allows us to sound better or to remove things. And
we sound awful normally.
I know. You don't want to hear us live.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, you don't even want to talk to us in any form.
No.
Live or otherwise. Otherwise,
my phone will have to have a plug-in that makes me sound like I'm on an FM radio station, you know?
Did you say FM radio station or something
FM
else?
FM radio. You know, got the radio broadcast voice.
I thought you said something else. Okay.
Only you, Mr. Randy.
Okay. You. Well.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another AppleViz Unleash for May 2020. My name is Thomas Donville, also go by the name of Anonymous. I am joining you here with Randy Rushneck. How you doing, Randy?
Doing all right. This is the big R.
You haven't done that for a long time. Yeah.
No, I decided to give the fans a little
fanfare. Thrill.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got Mike Malarcy that has returned.
I'm back. I don't have any fancy vocal things. I can't do that. But
I can't do that either.
But you guys' voices make up for it all, though. That's really good. Do that again, Mike.
I could try to do an echo thing like Tom.
That's pretty good.
That's what you call the cheap echo effect.
Hey, that's...
How much did you pay for that, Tom?
Effective.
It was free. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a free service to me.
So judgmental. Jeez.
And I have the right to be judgmental.
And then, of course, you know, I mentioned last month that Mike couldn't join us for a celebration. What? I mean, he had an earthquake right where he was at. And I was like, wow. So I said, were you shaking a little bit over there?
Boy, you know, I'll tell you something, Mike. The fan mail just rolled in for you.
Where is?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, thank God.
Yeah. What fan mail was that? No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, this is so much better.
They were all concerned for you. How about that?
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
and girls, listeners, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing broke. Everything's fine. It was just a nice 10, 15 seconds of shaking.
No house structure issue.
I thought you were
going to
say something else.
No. Nope, nothing, bro.
Well, Apple started with the month celebrating Global Awareness Month. I thought that was pretty cool, as they always do to celebrate the various forms of accessibility. They did a number of videos showing off all the ways you can use your Apple devices for different forms of accessibilities out there, including those who are blind and low vision out there, along with tools shown to developers how to make their apps more accessible. Now, what's odd about this, guys, is that I don't recall this being Global Awareness Month. Now, I remember it was like a Global Awareness Day, and then it turned out to be a week. And now, is this the first time we've done Global Awareness Month, or I think so,
because, you know, there's so many things going on at this time. So I'm sure they tried to expand on a little bit. But the one thing they didn't expand on was they didn't talk about accessibility about a blind person hanging upside down on an inversion table, which I use my iPhone upside down a lot of times lately. Straighten my back out. Yeah.
I thought you just held it upside down in your hand. I'm like, why do you do that?
No, I hang upside down and talk.
Okay.
Talk to people. I tweet with people upside down and
Mm-hmm. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen those things where you put your foot up on the top of the door frame and hang upside down. Is that what you do?
Straighten out the back? No, it's actually a huge table that flips upside down.
Oh.
And you have to clamp your feet in. It's a special device, and you clamp your feet in, and then the rest of you just gets thrown backwards. And
yeah, I've sometimes been to that website. I know.
That's interesting, Randy. That's very interesting. No,
it's true. I have sometimes forgotten to clamp my feet totally in, and I have.
That'd be so awesome! Can I flip you, man? Can I put you?
I flew right out of my shoes one time.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, she is a vampire.
Anyway, back to
that's normality. How he goes to sleep every night, everybody.
I hang upside down like a bat. I already got one part figured out.
Now, I got to ask you, have either of you ever looked at these app store recommendation for accessibility? Like what kind of apps they recommend for, you know, like awareness?
I know it exists, but I you know what? I think I did. I think I have seen it here just lately, a couple of days ago. I don't think I've ever gone to them, though.
Well, the reason I ask is, like, it seems like every year I want to check to see if there's something in there I don't know about. And
no.
For some reason, you know, when you look at them, like last year, they would pick some really dated stuff, like, you know, that came out like 5-6 years ago. And there's never anything that's like the hot new stuff that we all like to clamber to now. Like, for example, one of them was KNFB Reader. That was on there. I was like, what? I couldn't believe. I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. The KNFB Reader was a great app. It is still a great app. I think it's very pricey for all the options we have there. But for Apple to make that as one of them, it just seems, that's like 6 years ago. And there's so many other apps I would suggest over KNFB Reader.
Oh, yeah.
It does kind of give the impression that whoever was making those decisions is not somebody with a disability or knows them closely, because
I think it's probably somebody really very young, like maybe 10 or 11.
Yeah,
and they go,
I don't think that's the case. Here's
it's like, here's what blind people want.
It'd be like child labor. They can't do that. No.
Well, okay.
What else are the kids going to do 17. Nowadays?
That's right.
There's nothing else for kids to do. Might as well put them to work.
Yeah. Right? Boy, this is really going well.
Hey, this is coming from a guy stuck in his house with his kids all the time.
Well, I was just shocked. Child labor, first of all, that's shocking. And then two, you put KNFB Reader on that list. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Do they have anything that was cool at all?
I think the only one I saw that was really cool was Voice Dream Reader. It's like, well, now
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. You're actually saying something but they had a lot of other apps that were really eye opening for me for other disabilities, which was really cool. So I really was happy to see that they covered all forms of disabilities, so they can make that awareness. And so that was kind of cool. Along with some big news and lots of little nuggets for this month. You folks with the AirPod Pros and the AirPods second generation got a firmware update. No new user base feature that I'm aware of, but I was going to ask Mike about this. Have you gone through a firmware update on your AirPod?
You know, so reading that article and then looking at it, apparently yes, but
you never knew.
No, there's no indication. There's like, unless you very specifically know what you're looking for, you're never going to know.
Huh. So it's just kind of update in the background by itself overnight?
Yeah. I mean, and there's not even, Apple has never actually come out and said, this is how you can do a firmware update. It just happens. And then there's kind of like theories on how, and if you,
well, like, I heard
audio, put your headphones in the case and then plug it in, then it will probably do it.
I heard the latest firmware update got rid of all the vocals.
Mine still work. Mine's still working. But mm-hmm. I did have a different problem with mine. I maybe dropped one and it kind of rattles a little bit now.
Well, I knew that it's had, some people have complained about kind of staticky sounding, and sometimes it will have some droppage. And then I even heard there was some active cancellation. Some people said it wasn't working as well as it had been. So have you noticed that at all?
Sometimes I have trouble first connecting them. Which I feel like did not used to happen as much. Like I'll put the left one in and nothing will happen. I'm trying again. I'll restart my phone. Still won't work. Put the right one in. Bam, that one connects. But the left one just doesn't work.
And hey, my cheap gym headphones do, ear pods do that. Are they?
Yeah, but $50. Your cheap gym headphones probably can't tune my kids out. I'm kidding. You guys, I love my kids. I know I'm making a crazy joke. Child labor's not cool. I'm just going to throw that out there. Don't send me your emails.
Well, that's good to know because I wasn't sure how easy the firmware comes across. And that's awesome that it can happen in the background. You would never, ever know that it got
updated. Yeah, you can't stop it.
I'm not sure that's good or bad, though.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
You can't stop it.
Mm-mm. Wow. Just watch out.
And now, normally I don't bring up the little things like this, but it was a big announcement about the new Logic Pro X 10.5 was released this month. Now, I know a lot of people don't use the software, but it was kind of a big deal because they made some major accessibility changes within the software, along with a lot of new features with the app itself or the software. This is on the Mac. If people aren't aware of the Logic Pro, what is that? That's kind of a... What you guys say is an audio editor and video editor, or is it a video editor, or is it just sound only?
I don't even know if it does video. You call them DAWs normally, right? Do they still say that? I don't know if the kids say that anymore. Digital audio workspace or something kind of like that.
There you go.
I've never used it. Never tried it myself.
It's a good thing we know a lot more stuff than we do in this part of the podcast. That's
yeah.
Well, I had to bring this up because I was so surprised and I was so excited that the product manager of the Logic Pro came onto AppleViz and posted about the new update of the Logic Pro. His name is David Earle. He came on the site and he told everybody all the new changes and accessibility and everything. And what was really neat about it is that those that were in the know-how about Logic Pro were asking him lots of questions and he was answering them. And so it was amazing that somebody from Apple actually came on AppleViz to post this. And not only that, but to open up a dialogue about accessibility without having to go.
That is cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to read more about the changes and talk with David Earle, come to AppleViz. I'll leave the link in the show note so you can come and join David with that. A lot of people were excited because they actually have an email for him so they can contact him, which is, I hope this is a sign of good things to come from other product managers of other software and apps or whatever have not from Apple to come on. I think that would make things so much better in terms of those who had bad experience of calling the accessibility team hotline and stuff and didn't get the result they want. You can actually talk to the person that is over that. So I was really glad to see that. Now, Mike, you said you never used Logic Pro before, right?
Correct. Yeah, I have not. I learned Amadeus Pro forever ago on my Mac, and that's the one that I used.
Well, you answered my question. I was going to ask you then what. So you use Amadeus Pro on there before then, or you still do?
Yeah.
Or?
Oh, yeah.
And what about you, Randy? I know you're the PC guy, but what do you use then?
Just for sound. I use a lot of sound editing, and you can tell by our podcast because they're so messed up. The audio is all messed up. You know, I use like three different editors and stuff. Seriously, I use for Windows sides, I still use the famous studio recorder. And I must say it's getting long in the tooth. It doesn't do a lot of things that I want. So I use Goldwave and I use Audacity to partner them.
I've heard Reaper is the way to go.
Yes. Yeah, but see, the problem with that is I just don't want to take the time to learn anything.
That's why I still use Amadeus Pro for that very same reason. But I have actually been thinking about getting Reaper and trying it out.
You know, I use Audacity for myself. I did try out Reaper. I gave it 2 weeks try with Reaper. Because you get like a 30-day trial with Reaper before you have to purchase it. And even if you purchase it, it was really cheap. I think for private or for like personal use, I think it was like $60. I was like, wow, that's not bad. But the problem I had with Reaper, it is full-blown audio studio. I mean, it is that deep. You can do it's way more than I needed. Audacity is very simple. There's not a whole lot to it. And so for simple things like podcasting, I'm fine with that. I can see if you're a musician or something.
Yeah,
it's a Logic Pro and Ableton, and I can see Reaper being up there. But for simple podcasts, it is pretty heavy, pretty bloated, but it will support just about every plugin out there.
Oh, it will. Yeah. But I do think it's funny when people say, they'll say to me, look, I can edit this out. Listen to this. I can take that out. Okay, cool. I can do that with a free app.
Well, you know, there are some plugins that doesn't support some of the little things.
Oh, you bet there are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah. I love to use something called Ozone, which my son uses quite a bit. I would love that because it does everything at once. It levelates everything. It creates what it thinks an equalizer should be, and it's all automatic. And,
is that Windows or Mac?
Both. And it's very expensive, but it's well worth it. But
what is it? How much is it? What does it tell us a little bit about it? We're straying, of course, but.
Well, as I mentioned, it's kind of a hands-off. If you are not the type of audio engineer like myself, I'm not an audio engineer. I don't have the ear for like, this is level, this should sound like this. And so this plugin automatically does it for you. It's used by a lot of artists that will take this and put it at the end. So it kind of puts a gloss to it. So it makes sure all the level sounds right and the dips and highs and the equalizer gets all done.
So I'm a dip. You mean they could make me sound glossy?
It'll make you cool. Look better.
So how much is it? And can you try it first? Or
I don't believe you can try it. No, you have to pay for it. I want to say that if you're on the Mac, you can go. There is a program where you can pay it on a monthly basis, kind of a rent to own. And with that, I think it's, you put out like $20 a month to rent to own. And I think it's got to be at least around $200-$300 for the plugin.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing. Believe me, though, I wouldn't mention it if I didn't think it was that great.
It's a plugin for a sound editor, and some of the sound editors won't play with it. Is that right?
Well, you know, the different editors have supports for certain plugins. You know, there's different formats of plugins. There's like three or four different formats. And of course, Audacity doesn't support it. Goldwave doesn't support it. It only supports like the high-end ones, the Ableton, Logic Pro. I believe it does do on Reaper. I have to double check.
You know, you just saved me $300 then. That's cool.
Okay, we try it. I used to have a whole library of VST plugins on Omnidisc Pro, but then they went and decided it's 64-bit only, and all of those were 32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that gives us, our listeners, an idea what we go through when it comes to editing and what kind of plugins. So we use these special effects plugins that allows us to sound better or to remove things. And
we sound awful normally.
I know. You don't want to hear us live.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, you don't even want to talk to us in any form.
No.
Live or otherwise.
Otherwise, my phone will have to have a plugin that makes me sound like I'm on an FM radio station, you know? As always, Apple came out with the vintage and obsolete list. They update it every so often. And so now we're looking at the MacBook Airs 11 and 13-inch models of early 2014 and earlier. Is now obsolete and vintage. It has something. Only 6 years old and it becomes obsolete and vintage.
Hey, but you could stick that in the title on eBay when you sell it and you might be able to squeeze a few hundred extra dollars out of it.
It's vintage. Yeah. It's rare. And that goes for the same for the MacBook Pro 13-inch model, the mid-2014s on the list. What's really interesting is the iPod 5th generation finally made on the list. And I was like, 5th generation? I had to look it up. That was released 2011. It's just now put that in obsolete vintage. I was like, sure, you can put that in for 9 years, but you can't put any of the MacBooks. That's fine.
It's because they don't ever release new ones.
That's probably true. So I was, you know, I was surprised because, you know, our PCs, good Lord. I mean, you can have a computer for 10 years and it'll still run like a charm. I mean, yeah, I ain't going to play the latest, greatest graphics video game, but I mean, none of us really do that. So that is something to be aware of. So if you own one of those fine vintage devices, I take Mike's advice. I would sell it as vintage, get extra points for it, extra money, and put into a new one.
Took a shot.
And then in last month, I mentioned about that I thought there would be a new refresh MacBook Pro, and sure enough, it came along. But what didn't come along, I was wondering if they were going to ditch the 13 and just keep the 14 since they ditched the 15 and went with the 16. But nope, they kept the 13. It got the things like scissors keyboard. Obviously, that was common. The 256 SSD hard drive is now set standard, just like everything else was. Now, the only thing that was not the same as everything else is comes with a tag of 1,299 schmackers. Go get them. Go get them if you need a new PC or new Mac. Check them out. The other big news, this is one of the big news of the month, is that Apple finally official statement on what they're going to do with WWDC for this year. It is going to be virtual. That was not surprising that it was going to go virtual, but what was surprising was it won't be until June 22nd. I was like, June 22nd? The first thing that came to my mind, guys, was when I heard June 22nd, I was like in fear. I was like in panic mode because I'm thinking, oh my glob, oh boy, is iOS 14, it's going to have either two options. Either A, it's going to have a shorter beta cycle. Oh God, I hope that is not the case. That would be a nightmare. Or it means maybe they'll be pushing the release date of the iOS 14 to the end of September, if not until October. Wow. But
there aren't going to be any bugs in 14. There are no bugs coming.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I mean, did you guys even think about it when they said June 22nd? Were you in the same?
Well, what period? I have thought about mostly is people, at least in the circles that I travel in, the cheap folks, they're all getting their SEs. So I think on that end of the scale, people aren't going to be buying the latest updates. The latest phones. That's what I think.
Well, okay, but were you kind of concerned like I was about iOS 14 maybe becoming a shorter beta cycle and that can be a complete
I hope
disaster?
That wouldn't be the case because, oh boy, look what happened with 13. It just, that almost hurts me to mouth the words.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
I would much rather just have it come out in October than shorten that beta cycle.
I've heard people been talking about, like what you said, Michael, I think that what you were trying to say is that there are people wanting to have what Microsoft done. It's a bit shorter cycle, meaning that they only release new features every 2 to 3 months. So new things come out all the time, but not one big lump. And is that what you were thinking, Mike?
I think that would be so much better because I imagine that actually doing the work of programming it is probably pretty stressful, especially when you know the fall's coming. You're like, ah, crap, I still can't get this stupid voiceover to focus on the thing. I don't know how it all works, but it's got to be a lot of pressure to try to have everything ready for one day instead of like, hey, your department over here, all you people in your cubicles, you're going to make this one thing work. When it's ready, we'll push it out. Boom.
I love
you
that.
You got something cool and fun like every couple weeks or every few months or something.
I can see Mike on the floor going, all you people on this side.
Hey, all you guys. Make something cool on the home screen. Hey, you guys.
The things that people don't use very much are, let me see. I'll just throw it up in the air. Email. Mm. Let's just have the focus issue with email and then have the rest of it.
Email, focus on mail only. The entire 3,000 people on staff, focus on that email.
Let's make that not work.
Let's make it work. Come on. Yeah, no, I get that. And let's just hope that it's good news and bad news. You know, if it's good news, they extend it to a standard length of time of beta cycle. Bad news, we won't be getting into our hand in public until later, which doesn't surprise me because I think the keynote in the fall is going to be later anyway. So I do believe that. But as always, stay tuned to AppleViz. But I think it's an exciting time to get together and listen to a keynote, see what all the new features are going to be coming up in iOS 14. I always have a great time listening to it.
So do you think they'll put the applause in? Like, will they like pre-record applause? And
I was just thinking about that. Wow. Like, how is it going to work now? Like, that's what I was just.
picture this, you guys. All right. So I really like Leo Laporte's take on it because he's a good describer. That's just how I feel when he's not putting in his smart comments. But wouldn't that be? And here comes Tim Cook.
It's just dead silent. Dead. I know that is going to be interesting if they artificially put that in, or they allow some people in there.
They'll have music.
Music. Yeah. Music. Da, da,
da, da, da. They could play like maybe.
They don't want to run it like a sitcom.
Well, yeah. Well, surely here comes not. Jim Cood. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, I hope not. Oh man,
it'll be like the Emmy Awards or the Golden Globe, where they always play that music, like you said, when they come up.
Yeah, everyone's gonna have an entrance song, like it's WWE.
They could put like the stripper. How about the stripper music?
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I could just picture Tim coming up there. And
I'm wondering when the last time was you went to a strip club. I don't even know what song that was.
1864, I think.
It was just all piano. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, geez. All right. Well, moving forward, any of those with developers count, make sure you download your Apple developers app because that's what you're going to be using for the virtual convention. So good luck with that. It can be pretty cool to watch. Another big news, surprising again, I was very surprised when the Apple fiscal report came out. You know, we were talking last month that we were thinking, so a lot of people were thinking it would be about 5-6% below into the red. And this was big. This was big to see how a giant company like Apple can fare. Bad times that we're going through and storm the weather, they were able to pull out 1% above and made their mark at $58.3 billion. So they made it 1% over from last year. So they weathered it quite nicely. Obviously, the services and the wearables is what saved the day from when you got to listen to it and read in between the lines. It was up 18% year over year. And obviously, we kind of knew that the Apple hardware would drop, but not that much. It only dropped 2%, which I was like, wow, I really thought it was going to like tank. Some people thought we were going to see like 20-30% drop in hardware, and that was not the case. United States was actually flat. The only thing that was down was in China. In Europe, it was up during that time. So there were some very interesting information that came out of it. Was you guys surprised to hear that they actually made it?
You know, when I actually stopped to think about it, it kind of does make sense, especially really? Like service and stuff, because people are hanging out at home. Mm. And if you've got that disposable income, you're going to like watch the new streaming shows that everybody's talking about. You're going to like dive into that stuff because what else are you going to do? It does make sense, but it did catch me off guard. I would not have guessed that.
Well, you make a good point, Mike. I mean, you're absolutely right. People were probably flocking to Netflix, Apple TV, that, you know, that's paid, and probably download apps they never had done before. And maybe they bought the AirPods because they wanted when things at home. That's interesting. That's interesting to think about. But
people start a new podcast because, like, I have always thought about it. Might as well do it now. I mean, buy a computer, get to work. I have no idea. I have zero facts to back any of that up, but it makes sense.
You know, what's really interesting is that Apple did not, and this is like, I don't recall them doing this before, but they did not put an estimate forecast for next quarter. That makes me wonder if they're not done with this yet, or they just were unsure how the recovery would be like to be able to even forecast something like that. So that was something surprising as well. So when you have somebody that don't even know what to predict, that will be interesting because we don't know if that's going to be way down or if that means it's going to be way up. It will all depends on the recovery for everyone, I think. But I still think it's going to be kind of on the low side because, you know, that was for up through end of March. So we went through April and May. So it'll be interesting once again.
By the way, if you hear anybody snoring in the background, that's my golden retriever. She has flopped herself down and starting to snore now. So
Is that how she does it for you?
Apparently she's bored with a podcast. I
don't know. Is that the Indian indicator how this podcast is going to go out for this month?
I don't think so, but she apparently does. She said, let's talk about... It's already gone to the dogs, you know.
Oh, man. Well, another curveball. Jeez, Luis. You know, we were talking about this snafu, this iOS 13.4.1.2.5, and you were saying, God, it would be so much easier if you just do 13.5. And look, lo and behold, they must have listened to us because they released 13.5.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. They heard you, Randy.
Yep, they did.
For sure.
They said, we're going to listen to everything what Randy has to say about
it. Yeah, well, that's a good way to bring the company right to their knees.
Well, you know, there were some new accessibility features fixed on this, thank God. Mm-hmm, I thought the notification banner at the top,
yep,
that it actually goes away now. Woo-hoo! Now, have you both had that experience problem like others or not?
Probably. I haven't.
You mean with them going away, you mean? Or
I mean, did it never go away? It just stayed there?
Oh, it never went away. No, I'd be exercising and I'd hear notifications going on and on and on and on. And
it'd still be there?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Is that gone now for you?
It's gone. Yep.
Oh, so that's awesome. The other one is really, oh, I couldn't believe this. You ever heard that when VoiceOver kept saying text field, when it really wasn't a text field?
Yep.
That was annoying. That was fixed as well. Some good news and bad news for low vision folks. Yes, the Smart Invert has some improvements within Safari. However, it still has some issues on some site and it still isn't fixed. My gosh, I hate beating on a dead horse, but this has been an issue every single major release since 13 came out at all. Smart Invert's been nothing but a nightmare. And I can't see any major release in the near future until 14 comes out. So I feel terrible about it. And we definitely are going to bang on the door on this one to make them really focus on that problem because that's becoming a real issue.
It really is. Actually, it's a kind of extra annoying too after the whole Global Accessibility Month and they're parading all these apps around like, look, everything's great. And like, hey guys, what about this thing that's been broken for a really long time? Come on.
Yeah. It's just
like,
crazy.
I'm glad you're talking about it, but do it too.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Now, I'm guessing you both are on 13.5 then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Have you guys noticed anything else or any bad things or changes?
Well, I haven't, but I did hear that some people, and I wonder where they get their information from, because some people seem like they have had some battery issues. I've had none. So far, the things that are working for me, it's like I'm kind of, you know, used to, after all this time, used to it now after almost a year working with it. So the complaints that I have are far less than they were.
Well, that's good. I don't have a battery issue either, but it always seems like there's always a handful of people that always seem to have battery issue. Mm-hmm. There was that one big issue where, those that were using family sharing, if you had downloaded an app from another family member, it wouldn't open. It says you need to please purchase this. And, thankfully that was fixed very quickly without a update to the phone. I guess it was behind the scene, they were able to fix that problem. So that is out of the way. So I would imagine we would get a lot of minor version updates just for security and other things. And that's pretty much what we have is what we're going to get. Now, within 13.5, we did get some new features. There are three of them that I like to make aware of for folks out there. Exposure notification system. What is that? Well, you probably have heard about these contact tracing monitoring where they will be tracing people around you for COVID. So in other words, this app would see where you have been. It would match with all the people you have been around and it stores it on a server. So if somebody has been exposed, they can report that and then it will alert you to let you know that you have been around other people with COVID. Now, before people start to panic about this, is that two things. One, this is not on by default, so this is turned off. Second thing, you have to install an app that does this. Now, only the states, various states and countries on a government level can release these kind of apps for you to use. However, in the United States, I don't know. It's already pretty much a failure and a doom from get-go, I think, because only three states at this time even have a COVID app to use. And on top of that, now they're getting reports that there are some privacy issue with it. And Lord behold, they're selling your information to Foursquare. I should say sharing. Yeah. I was like, what in the name are you guys doing?
Ask me if I'm surprised.
It's just a disaster. And then I think there was at least more than a handful, if not almost two handful of states that are not going to volunteer and make an app for that state. So I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of countries like Switzerland and Germany, they're coming up with an app for the whole country wide. And I just can't figure out why we're going state by state here. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't use GPS. It doesn't know where your location is. What it does is that it uses Bluetooth. So Bluetooth can sense other Bluetooth devices. And so when it detects Bluetooth devices, it's going to say, hey, do you have this one of these exposure notification thing? Is it on? Yes. What is your number? And these numbers are randomly generated. So it doesn't know who you are or anything. So it stores that to give you kind of an in-depth how this works.
So it doesn't give you kind of an electric shock or something.
Exactly. No. It doesn't give you electric shocks.
You've got it.
I think my guess with why it's state by state here is because the states are all individually kind of running themselves through it all. And it hasn't been like the federal government saying everyone's doing this. We're all doing it together. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose. It's just kind of a mess, I think.
It definitely is a mess. I agree with you, for sure.
Here's the big question to both of you. If your state did give you the option to have this app installed, would you install?
No.
See, it's already doomed to fail. What's the point of having this when nobody else is using it to the get-go? So it's just doomed to fail from the get-go. So
yeah, for me personally, like having the whole Snowden thing, like I just don't trust. If the government says, here, take this thing we made so we can track you, I'm going to say, no, I'm not. I absolutely don't trust you at all anyway. Why would I do that? Like I understand the reason, but I have zero trust for what they're actually going to do with that information.
Devil's advocate here. So let's just
do it
on the other side. So people that do want to know what's going on around them, you know, I wonder if they would extend this to, like, let's just say measles. Now, would you do it for measles? So, because I think we're all three of us old enough that we could be able to get measles again, depending on the shot that you got, because we didn't get the older you are, the less effective the measles shots are, or deadly diseases. Would that be something you would do?
No, I don't think I don't think there's anything that could get me to get an app built by the government for them to collect data on me in any fashion.
About you, Randy?
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. Well, I'm with you both. I'm not going to install it either. I have mine turned off. For those that do want it on, it is an option in there. You just have to make sure that your country and your state does provide it. The hard part is figuring out who does and who doesn't. That's the hardest part. So I have no clue. If you just type in the state and see if it comes up, I don't know. Or contact somebody at your state to see if it's available for your area. That's the first feature. Now, the second option here, I am curious about what you guys think about this, is that now you are able to share your medical information with your emergency calls. In other words, right now when you call in the state, for example, 911, if you have a medical ID set up on your phone, that will be automatically sent to the 911 call. Now, I can already see good things about it and bad things. The good things, if it had all the information about myself. However, if I'm just dialing 911 for somebody else or for other reasons, then it's shooting off to them about everything about you when that's unrelated to the call.
Yeah, and then that person has to get all this info and then realize, like, oh, I don't need any of this crap. Delete. Let's get the actual stuff we need.
Yeah, no. My luck, you'd put, you know, the information, you're a blind individual, and I get the call. Hello, can you hear me?
Please do not shout. I read lips. I actually had a couple one time and said, oh, you're blind. I said, yeah, I'm blind. "Oh, so do you read lips?" And I was like,
"Yeah,
what?
What?
That's a true story." But so do you guys have medical ID set up on your phone then?
I actually just did it like a month ago because I've never ever messed with it.
Well, I was working with a student, and so since she wanted to know how it's done, I had to do it so I'd know how it's done so I could show her. Mm-hmm. So I just left it alone.
Is that something that would alarm you?
Probably not.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I wanted to get a kind of an observation from you both. It doesn't bother me. I think that more information to know about me when I'm in a point when I need to call 911.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it because that one, like, you control what's in it. You control when it gets sent. Exactly. Like, it's not just something that they're passively collecting on.
Good point. This also does include the fall detection on your Apple Watch. So if you're not familiar with the fall, is that it will detect if you fell, and if you're in a position where you can't call 911, it automatically dials 911 for you. If you don't respond, like, 30 seconds, I believe, you have to turn it off to say, "I'm fine." Otherwise, it calls 911. So it will send that medical information along to that call. The third feature and the last one is that it will skip the face ID when it detects a mask. So those with touch ID, this won't apply to you. But for those with face ID, that with this day and age of COVID, where we're wearing masks all the time and I'm having to answer something or unlock my phone, it was kind of a mess, but now it's so much easier. It just detects it and goes straight to the passcode. So you just have to enter their passcode to get into it. There's new rumblings, and it's getting louder and louder about this Apple over-the-ear headphones, folks. Yes, I know we've been talking about this for months and months, and it's getting louder. I really truly believe it's not a if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And what's cool about it is that they're thinking it's being dubbed as AirPod Pro Studio. So going along with the other AirPods, it's just not going to be the studio version with over the ear. What I didn't know about this is that I guess the AirPods have this thing called the ear detection. And
that's funny.
Ear detection?
What does it do? Like, have a little feeler that goes around and looks for your ear?
Well, that's actually the name of it. I didn't realize. Yeah, apparently when you have AirPod on, you're listening to music, right?
Uh-huh.
And when you take one of them out, it stops the music. So it puts it on pause. And you put it back in, it resumes the music. That's called the ear detection.
Huh, interesting.
Isn't that right, Mike?
Mm-hmm. I love that feature. I use that on my treadmill all the time.
Well, they're going to have something called the neck to head detection, which is similar to the ear detection.
Why that just sounds so much weirder, though.
It does. I don't know. But the neck to head detection means that when you put the headphones on your neck, it will sense that and it'll put the music on pause, and it will sense it when you put it back on your head. It will start to play back your music. Now, my favorite part of the new feature I've heard is that there's an additional sensor for the left right ear, meaning that you cannot put the headphones on backwards. No matter how you put it on, the ear routing for right ear will automatically route it to the correct ear. I was like, wow. Interesting. I've never heard that. I mean, I was thinking about this. Every pair that I have has to fit one way because it's, you know, how the cup or the feeling, you can feel it when it's backwards or not. So I'm thinking, how weird are these headphones going to feel if they're reversible? So I never heard this before. So I thought that was a really cool feature. And also when you pair the over-the-ear headphones comes with a custom equalization, which I wish the iPhone has. I understand they have an equalizer, but it's so preset. I would like to adjust it myself. So apparently on these sets, you'll be able to adjust it where you like it between the low, mid-range, and the high ends. That would be my preference. Mm-hmm. Only because, you know, I have loss of hearing in my hearing aid, so I don't hear certain things. So I like to have my own preset that would be more adaptable to my hearing. So we don't know when these coming out, but it sounds like it will be coming out very soon.
Any idea on price or not?
Well, we talked about this last month. It's going to be $350. We were talking about how you and Michael said, no way, you're not going to spend that much. You guys got great set of headphones for.
See, I've barely listened to what we talk about. So, you know. Now it all comes back to me.
I definitely will get a pair of these. There's no doubt about it. It is costly, but it will be the high end. But you get all these cool features. So those are interesting. Now you got to hear some new features with it. Now, my favorite of the talk discussion is that the iPhone 12, folks, you know, it's getting closer. More news are coming out. Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for four different models of iPhone 12? Well, we have three. I mean, would it matter if you had to add one more?
I can't even name the three that are there right now.
That's
so
true.
No, I guess I can't. It doesn't matter.
I had to think about this. I had to think about how to make this not so confusing. So let's just think about this. We have the two entry-level iPhone 12. That's just the regular iPhone 12. It's the entry-level. You have the iPhone 12, and you have the iPhone 12 Max. Does that make sense? You got the little ones, and you got the big ones.
Tracking so far.
Mm-hmm. Following me so far?
Yeah.
And then the other two will be the high-end models, iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. So there'll be a little version and a big version. So there'll be a little version and a big version for each entry level and high end level.
So having said that, does the size matter then? Which you get? Is it the size?
This is kind of part of the problem. Is it still really confusing to put it in terms that normal people that don't obsess over it can understand?
It is, yeah.
You have big version, little version.
Big and little versions. Yeah, what are the differences? The size of the screen or what?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked.
Because size matters.
It is going to affect people. This is going to affect people a lot, I think, because...
Size matters.
Exactly. iPhone 11. Let's just take that. Okay. So you have the regular iPhone 11, the entry model. That is a 6.1-inch display model. Okay. And the new iPhone 12 model is going to be a 5.4. So you lose. It's going to go shorter. So you're actually going to have a shorter phone. For those people who like a smaller size, may love this idea. Those that enjoy the 6.1 are going to be upset because the iPhone 12 Max is going to be the 6.1 inch.
So it forces you to buy the topper end model if you're going to be upset over the smaller one.
Pretty much. You know, the reason they did that is because they're going to incorporate the OLED screen. And of course, they have to find out ways to cut the price down. However, for me, I like the shorter phones. That one really has me curious. I am seriously thinking about the smaller version, the 5.4 inch, because I like the smaller factor. I do not like the larger size. The iPhone 12 Pro will be kind of the opposite effect, which means that the iPhone 11 Pro, which I have, is a 5.8. So it was actually shorter than the iPhone 11 entry because it had OLED. So it was a little bit shorter. Well, it's now going to be 6.1 for the high-end iPhone 12. The iPhone 12 Pro Max is going to stay the same size as 6.4. So hopefully,
now, if you're not confused now, then you will be.
Well, you have the little one and the bigger brothers.
Yeah, little big one.
Yep. And you just remember the one you have now is now going to be littler. If you have the 6.1 now, and if you're on the Pro, it's going to be bigger. So just think it that way. Really, there's not a whole lot of difference when it comes to specs. Both will have 128 gig standard storage, so goodbye 64. I don't even use 64, so I think it's going to be a welcome thing for some that use a lot of space. But the Pro is going to have more RAM on board. Both of them will also have the 5G cells we talked about, and also support the new Wi-Fi 6E, which nobody has at this point. I don't think we'll be seeing the new Wi-Fi protocol for several years, but the 5G obviously has rolled out, and so that could be used now. The little ones, the entry level, will still stick with the dual camera, and the high end will still have three cameras, with exception with that it has LiDAR. I love that name, LiDAR.
Mm-hmm.
The little one still has aluminum base. The bigger Pro has a stainless steel, blah, 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 blah. So that's pretty much all the difference we will have.
both will have A14 processors as well. I still don't think we're going to see this in September. I think it's going to be along what we're discussing about the iOS 14 being released. It probably won't be until October, which would not surprise me, but I don't think it's going to be any later than that. Now, I'd be curious, would even with that information, are either of you will even consider buying a new phone this year at all?
I will, probably.
It's gonna be something, because mine's getting pretty long in the tooth, my 8, you know, so.
Oh, you haven't, okay, I forgot. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting. Yeah. So you think, if you guys are thinking about it, which one do you think it would be what you want?
Well, what do the 12s have that would make me want to have a 12 over, let's say, the SE? That's what I'm curious about.
OLED. I think the low vision people, yes, I think it's going to be very important, because the higher res and contrast of a screen that you have is going to be important. Now, for those that are completely blind like ourselves, do we really need the OLED?
No. Well, I want that 5G, baby.
Do we really need a Face ID? That's a question to ask.
No.
Mm-mm. It's pretty cheap.
I want 5G, though.
That's a big thing there. That would depends on if you care about 5G or not. Can you do without 5G for another, say, 2 or 3 years, however long you have your phone?
Because that's how I use the internet nowadays. I have to use, I am a hotspot for my phone right now. So if I get 5G, 5G is going to happen here long before any company comes and installs cables or fiber or anything else to my house.
Interesting. What about you,
Randy? I could maybe stream a movie again, you guys.
No, yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, Mike. And 5G would be very important to you, because that way you can have like what you were used to. You have your flawless without buffering.
Honestly, man. I would like 5G, but gosh, I'm
expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really have any issues that you could tell. you know, with my with anything that I want to stream, I just don't have any. What I have is signal loss sometimes, because I travel sometimes in the really remote areas, and I don't think that would help any. But
no, I don't think so either. I mean, we still will have 4G, 3G, because 5G isn't everywhere, so it's not going to be in those areas for quite a while. It's hard to say.
Is it still going to be Face ID and no home button and all that stuff like it has been going, or what's happening?
It's been discussion.
That?
I have not heard any definitive things. I've heard anywhere from under the screen Touch ID to
button
Touch ID. If they incorporate those, there's a no-brainer. I would love to get that back. I would love to have that. Now, to answer your question, no, I think your SE would be just as good as the iPhone 12s in terms of not having the screen you need and the Face ID. Not only that, but my gosh, my local carrier was doing it $5 a month payments on it. Or the carrier that I'm have is offering the SE for free if you sign up a 2-year contract with them.
Oh my gosh, really? Wow.
Unheard of.
I'm, you know, if they would do something like that, I'm waiting for Father's Day to come. And, you know, if I see a good deal, I will probably just forget it and just snap it up. I really think I will.
You probably would do that.
Thanks a lot.
And besides,
you
would do that. But you can't buy your own presents for Father's Day. Just buy it.
I can.
Lame is that there's discussion that the earbuds will not come in the package this year. I can't tell if that's greedy or brilliant on Apple's move to make you go to AirPods.
It could go either way, because you know it would make you probably it would probably make one want to buy some extra. I wouldn't. I just don't care.
Wow. Okay.
So, no, I don't use. I have never believed this or not. I have played around with the earbuds and just put them away. I just don't use them.
Well, I guess I didn't realize this is pretty common practice with Android phones. A lot of Android phones don't come with earbuds either. Mm-hmm. It's pretty common. So I didn't realize that. So I suppose for some that are expecting it are going to be upset about it, and those that are not expecting it. Like, I'm like you. I just keep it in the package, just put it in my drawer. I have like 4 of them.
Oh, come on, Tom. You're nothing like me.
That's a good point. I'll take Nobody that statement is. Back. I'll take that back. I'm not like him at all. No. Mm-mm.
Well, however, a little bit, except in that one area you are.
Whatever that would be. No, that's
yeah, not I true. Don't know if I want to ask.
I deny it.
Well, you're I in there too, it. Mike. You're in there too.
Uh-oh.
So. Yeah. You're all with me. No, I think I really would just think about snapping up that, you know, SE. I really am mm-hmm. thinking about it.
It's not a bad way to go. I'm with you. I do know I'm going to get a new phone this year. I don't know which direction I'm going yet. I'll have to see the keynote and see what's in it. But regardless, we will see when it comes out to make that decision.
The thing that I'm just really interested in, I haven't heard anything about it, is speakers or microphones or stereo recordings or anything. I just don't see that moving forward.
They never talk about that. No, I never really talk about it.
And I've got recorders that do that. I do.
Well, you just have to see one yourself, I suppose. But mm-hmm. Well, now what's really interesting, and this will be the last Apple news before we wrap this show up, is Apple Glass. This came out of nowhere, folks. I thought this was the related to the AR headset they've been talking about. Mm-mm. This is a totally separate thing, folks. This is something everybody's been talking about. This is also not a matter of if, but when. It was a surprise announcement that they dubbed it as an Apple Glass. It is a pair of glasses that Apple is putting out that is going to be worn on your head like a glasses, and you could be able to put your prescription lens in it if you need that. The difference thing about this, guys, and I was really truly amazed, was that there's no camera on it. So I'm thinking to myself, what's the point if it has no camera? Which was really great, because you know Google Glasses was failure because of the camera, because people were fearing about being recorded when they didn't want to be. So Apple obviously put a lot of thought into this in terms of privacy. And this is when you're going to hear the new term, LiDAR. You're going to hear nothing about LiDAR ever since it came on iPad. I promise you, that is one thing I am interested in with the iPhone 12 Pro, because it's going to come with a LiDAR as well. And this glasses is going to use LiDAR. Now, let me explain with this LiDAR again. Now, I explained it when the iPad came out with it, and we were not familiar with this LiDAR. It is a infrared laser sensor that kind of like an echo, like a bat, you know, it echoes around it and it knows everything around it. But it's supposed to be extremely detailed. So we'll see every little nooks and cranny around you, up to 15 feet around you. So for AR terms, it's going to be amazing for AR. But for us that are blind or low vision, I wonder if this will be good enough to detect text recognition instead of camera. And if so, if the details would be more sharper and the resolution will be picked up better.
Watch it. It'll be the greatest thing you ever want to know about. And if LiDAR comes to the phones, I'll probably miss it because I'll have the SE, but it'll probably be one of the neatest things around.
I think it's going to be the coolest thing. And that's why I think that's the term of the year from Apple, LiDAR. You're going to hear nothing but LiDAR. It is. I'm anxious to hear more about it and how in depth this would work for us. If this glasses work the way I think it does, it's going to be amazing. When I was stunned that they were only saying it's $499.
And so I still have a shot at it then, because I could have a SE and get a pair of glasses. Then I'd have the best of both worlds, maybe.
Yeah. And the weird thing is it has no speakers on it. So obviously, once again, they want you to have some sort of a Bluetooth attached to it, like AirPods. You see how they're pushing this AirPods, guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
You will have to pair with the iPhone, because that's where the main computing power is going to be, is on the iPhone.
So it could work with a pair of glasses and a phone, and you wouldn't have to have the AirPods, I wouldn't imagine.
I don't know. That's
otherwise, I'd be spending, you know, like close to $1,000 to be able to see.
Oh, it would be ridiculous. I would think any Bluetooth would work with it.
I would think so too.
I would think so too. I don't think it would be that desperate, saying everything must be there. Now, have an iPhone to pair with it, you're already kind of strapped it down. But that's kind of like the earlier Apple Watch models, where you had to have an iPhone with it. But they eventually separate it too. So maybe, hopefully, as it gets more mature, they'll be able to separate the two.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this technology as well.
Yeah, this is going to be big. So it's not something that we'll be able to replace like an Envision glasses because it doesn't have a camera for your Aria or Envision. It's just not going to work that way unless LiDAR is able to detect objects and scan things and color. I don't know all that stuff. We'll have to see, but it is something anxious to see. New apps for the month on Apple Viz to talk about. The Radio Talking Book. Have you guys heard about that?
I happen to think that Radio Talking Book app is really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I did a podcast on this for those in the States. Unfortunately, it's not available outside of the States, but it reminds us back in the old days, right, Mr. Randy? Audio reader services.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get this little, what was it, a radio? It's just tuned into one station.
Well, it had a little switch on it back when I had, when I was first introduced to it back in 1969, I believe. And you'd flip the switch and it would tune in the subcarrier, which was National Public Radio. And then you'd flip the switch and it would go to the Talking Book radio service. And I thought I was the coolest person in the world having that cool. radio.
We used to get catalogs. I still get catalogs.
I still do too. Yeah.
It's like, man, they're wasting money on this one. But a lot of people still use it, but it's now come to an iPhone app or an iPad app. You can actually listen to those audio services. Cool thing about it has a modern twist to it, which I really like. You can see and hear it was archived in the past week. So if you miss an episode, you can actually go back and listen to it.
Yes, you can. And did you know that the Amazon devices, you can listen to Radio Talking Book on them as well?
Cool. No, I did not know
that. Oh, you did not know that? Mm-mm. You can just say, "A lady, play Radio Talking Book." And the thing is that it's going to ask you, are you blind or low vision? If you are, then you could use this app. Well, you could, you know, you could just say yeah or yes or no, but they're doing it on the honor system. And you just say yes. Yeah. It's just a one-time yes or no, and then it knows to enable the skill. So you say yes, and then it just enables it, and boom, you're listening. So there's all kinds of ways to get the news from your local or semi-local service. Right now we are in the Minnesota area as I'm speaking to you, and our service is not up, and it goes over to Thomas's
area, not in Lawrence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yes, the only disadvantage I could see with it that it only does the Minnesota audio services when it comes back up. So it doesn't based on your location and pull the audio service.
I just wish it would. I wish that would be great because you could be anywhere in the world and pull down reading services. I hope that comes at some point. That'd be awesome.
It would be. You know, obviously that was released by the state of Minnesota, so I can see why they want to make it state specific and they're not catering to everybody, which is a shame because I think they should have all pulled together to make that work.
I agree, but I also know in this state that I'm speaking to you from was the this is where it was developed, and there are people that I'm guessing are covetous about their material and where it goes. And I know I knew the original developer and he's really a cool guy. Unfortunately, he's retired now and can't provide some of his intellectual thoughts on how this should go. So, but I do know the people that are working on it currently, which is cool too. But yeah, I wish they would have developed it a little further.
Exactly.
But what we've got is great.
It's awesome. I love it. So if you haven't seen it or heard it, check it out. It's a free app. I've also done a podcast on it. You can give that a listen. Now, beyond Apple, I want to make a mention because I was invited just recently to do a presentation for a place called GGM, which is Games Galore and More. Have you heard of that, Randy? Games Galore and More?
Yeah.
I had not. And I was really, really excited to learn more about GGM. This is not a website, it's a team talk server. So it's a server that you log into that allows you to be part of this Games Galore and More. They offer services besides just being able to talk to other people in chat, but they have games, which is, I think, is cool. So like every Tuesday and Thursday will be this game, every Wednesday, Friday will be this game, and they have tournaments. So you can participate in these games, and it's all to interact and talk with other people. And it is kind of a unique way to get together with other people. I don't know any other services like this, and it's specifically for those that are low vision and blind.
So other services that you were talking about where they can chat as well as play games. So do they hook you up with different rooms that you can go into to either do the games or just chat if you want to?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's if you're not familiar with a Team Talk, they have what they call these rooms, and these different rooms will have different games or chat rooms. So like this room would be specifically for a presentation, like special people that come on and talk about different things. That was me. They have one channel just for like, I think they call it the Mississippi Mud game or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then they have other games, and they even have rooms where you can just go and just talk with other people, kind of like a lounge or some sort. Mm-hmm. And it's
kind of like going to Vegas without having to leave your chair.
Your computer. Yeah. But you can talk with other people. So it's something to check out. Check the show note. I'll lead you to the site itself. You can find out more information, how to sign up for it and get
in. Is there any cost for this then, or is it
absolutely free? Which is remarkable for what they do. And they even have cash prizes for different tournaments. So you actually win things. So this,
I wouldn't win anything.
I wouldn't either. I would never win anything. I never have. And I mean, I've won like $1 or something, but never some anything big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've won like, stuff from AppleViz, you know, but every time I win, I always get chided for it. And like, oh, of course you won something on AppleViz, you know, of course you did.
And, well, of course, now we're getting to the end. I'm not going to offer any tips since we had a pretty long show here today. As always, thank you for listening to this podcast. And if you would, please support Club AppleViz member. I'll leave in the show notes how to do that. Every micro donation you can offer to keep the lights on AppleViz and keep the shows going is always welcome.
Yep. And I'd personally like to thank everybody for saying how much they love this particular podcast. And they are, they really, I think, have good taste. Because I really mean that. I really do enjoy doing this one.
Well, this is a lot of fun. It's fun.
That's awesome. I like it. And of course, being a Club AppleViz, you get perks and things like that. So check that out. So thank you so much, guys, for coming on. And of course, for those out there, can always reach us at unleashed@appleviz.com. You can email us for any features, requests, or complaints, or whatever comes to your mind.
Shout out, happy guys. Birthday messages, anniversary.
Let's see here. Things. I'm gonna auto forward this to the gang. Keep myself out of this. That's a joke.
We took it as such too.
I'm sure you did. All right. Well, that's going to do for AppleViz for May 2020. Thank you for joining us here with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. My name is Thomas Donville. I always go by the name of Anonymous. Until next month. Goodbye, guys. Bye-bye.
This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your AppleView. AppleViz.com.